Well, good morning, Sunnyside.
Is that safe for me to put my water on? We'll find out, right?
Okay. He's asking if it was safe for me to put my water there. He said, we'll find out. So, appreciate that. What a great morning, isn't it? So far, this is pretty amazing. And Tim, this morning, when we were listening to the worship team rehearse, he mentioned to me, he said, how are you about calling out line dancing? And that's in one of those songs that we sang. And he said, you have a good voice, you can project well, and it's just, you don't have to sing, you just have to call out. And I said to him, but the other requirement would be rhythm. And I said, and that is sadly lacking in my life, and which has kept me from ever participating in a worship team. And so, but I sure am appreciative of the people who do have that gift and make use of it and bless all of us as a result as well. And help us to be able to be carried into the presence of the Lord, because that's a wonderful moment, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Let's read our resolution that we've made. Have we got it up on the screen?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. So I have to turn to be able to read it because I have not got it memorized. And that it's just part of my thing so that if I fail at it, I don't feel so bad because I didn't memorize it. But now, together though, we will share this together. Let's read it together, please, and join with me.
This step out of the darkness, no matter how comfortable it may be, and join God walking in his light and being a beacon to everyone, and finding joy in spreading the good news of Christ in the dark times we find ourselves in.
This morning, I have given the title that you're never too young to be used by the Lord, but you can be too old. And I will explain that as the message goes on, so you'll be able to appreciate that, because some of you are looking at me in the audience here today and thinking, you're a lot older than I am. And there's no question about that. And I just want you to know, I started turning gray when I was 16. And so by the time I was 30, this is what I looked like. And so for the last 35 years, people have told me, you haven't changed. Now, I've always looked old. It's been that way. So this morning, though, I want to be able to take a look at that. And in Jeremiah 1:6, in the passage that was read for us this morning, Jeremiah says to the Lord, when the Lord's laying out before him that he needs somebody to step up and tell Israel what's going on and step into the gap there. And it's amazing, Jeremiah's response. He says, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. In the Hebrew there, it literally means youth. It can also be used as a child. It can be really almost anybody who's in their 20s and younger. And they figure that Jeremiah was probably about 20 years old. But what he's really saying here is that I've got no training. I've got no ability to be able to do this. I don't know. I've never been trained to do leadership or ministry. And you're calling me to be able to do this? So what is it that the Lord was looking at in Jeremiah's life where he thought, you're able. You can do this. You can pull this off. Number one, because the Lord was there and saying, because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to enable you. I'm going to help you to be able to do this. And but also, as the book goes on in Jeremiah, you realize something beautiful. And that is that God knew Jeremiah's heart. The Lord knew his heart. And the Lord knew this as well. That's the most important thing that I'm looking for. I'm looking for the heart. The heart response, the heart attitude, a humility of heart, and a heart that's willing to say, I trust you. Even when I can't see what's happening or working out, I want you to know something, God. I trust you because I trust your heart. Because your heart is good, and your heart is full of love, compassion, care, and concern for everything that we're going through right now in our story. That's what God is looking for. And don't get me wrong, training is good, all right? Training is good. It's good that we have ministerial students that go through Bible college and go through seminary and things like that. That is good. But it is not the end. And I want to be able to share this with you and help you be able to appreciate this too, I hope. And that is that in over 40 years of ministry, I have seen a lot of people who've been excellently trained but had hearts that honestly just weren't there. Just weren't there. And as a result, their ministry, great orators, great teachers, great at being able to handle something and be able to express it and explain it. But in terms of living a changed life and helping other people to live a changed life as well, there was something sadly lacking. We're blessed here at Sunnyside. We have an amazing group of, I believe we call them ministerial students. I'm looking for some nods of affirmation, Carrie. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate that. And we call them ministerial students, and they are amazing. Like, really, God has anointed them. God has blessed them. We are so fortunate to have them. And I've got to tell you something. You should see Abe smile. All right? I just want you to be able to know that. You should see this man smile. It's contagious. It is contagious because it comes from his heart and soul. And if you've never seen him smile, you need to take some time this morning at the end of the service. Greet Abe, and he will show you that beautiful smile. Putting you on the spot here, brother, okay? Jesus' disciples. One of the most amazing verses in the book of Acts is in Acts chapter 4, verses 13. And it says this. They're having conflict with Peter and John, the religious leaders and leaders of the day and stuff, and the people there. And it says, they saw the courage of Peter and John and saw that, catch this now, and saw that they were unschooled and ordinary men. And they were astonished. What did that mean? It meant that they realized that these guys had no rabbinical training. They had never been underneath one of the specialty schools of theology that Jewish people had, and therefore had been trained up in one of the theological mindsets of the day, and able to be able to quote these guys, etc. They had none of that. Matter of fact, they looked and thought, these guys basically are unschooled completely. As a matter of fact, the Greek word actually can also be translated as fools. They were considered to be fools. But then they note something in the verse that follows. But they recognized that these men had been with Jesus. They recognized that these men had been with Jesus, and they had been captured by his heart, by his love. And as a result of the relationship they now had with a risen Savior and empowered by the Holy Spirit, they spoke as people who had authority and power. I was thrilled this morning when Chris shared what he did, and I thought, wow, Lord, this is beautiful, because it's not choreographed. We don't choreograph the message and the service here. But I loved what Chris got up and shared. Here was a fellow saying, I need somebody to help me walk through this. And Chris phones two guys, and their first response is, we've never done that. And Chris's response, great time to start. I love this. And what's it all about? It's all about your heart and the relationship that you have with a living Lord who empowers you to be able to share his love and compassion with all those around you. Let's take a moment, though, look at Jesus for a second, okay? In that. In passage that was read here this morning, and also in Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29, you find out that the people are amazed at his teaching. They're amazed at it. They're blown away. And they're blown away because they're looking, going like, where does his authority to teach like this come from? Because the honest truth is, this man's unschooled. He has not been to any of the rabbinical schools that we know of. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even quote the great rabbis of the past, the great teachers of the past, which everybody else did to be able to back up their authority to say, this is the truth. Here's how this should be interpreted. Here's how this should be applied. And I said, Jesus doesn't do any of that. And yet he speaks with an authority and a power where the words are living and alive. And you can't help but feel that they're touching your heart and your soul. Even Jesus himself was considered unschooled. And yet, he amazed them. Jesus, when he's with his disciples one day, looks at them and says this. And this is in Matthew 18. And he says this to his disciples. He says, if you really want to be part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, if you really want to be part of that, if you want to be able to see what it means to be part of something that is alive and life-changing, he says, you need to become like children. You need to become like children. Now, I want to be able to clarify this for you in terms of what this means, and that for those of you who have seen children who are screaming little episodes in a shopping center or in a store because they're not getting their way and they're throwing this huge tantrum and they're in a complete meltdown. That's not what Jesus means. He's not saying, I'll listen better, et cetera, et cetera, and you'll get your way because you act like that. That's not what he's saying at all. The Greek word for child here is kind of fascinating. It means literally somebody who's basically seven and under. And what Jesus is saying here is this. He says, I want you to have a heart like they do. I want you to have a heart like they do. You know, Patty and I are blessed right now that we've got 8 grandkids. And with those grandkids, you get a chance to be able to have a do-over, which is wonderful. And so all the failures we made with our 3 sons, we now get a chance to be able to do it so much better with these. Well, okay, Patty's giving me that look. I get a chance to do it so much better with our grandchildren. But I just want you to let you know something. It's beautiful to be able to see the faith that they have and the way they express it at times and their total trust in God. I can't tell you how many times my grandchildren looked at me and said to me, we should pray. And I'm thinking to myself, this is too overwhelming to pray. And they're thinking, no, we need to pray. And I'm thinking, okay, let's pray. And they'll lead. They'll go first. And I'm blown away by their confidence in who God is because they absolutely believe he loves them. And they know this truth. What Jesus says, I want you to be like children. If you really want to be able to get to know me, if you really want to be able to be connected to my heart and understand my love and be empowered to be used in the kingdom of God, he says, this is what I'm looking for. That childlike trust, that openness, that willingness to ask questions. I like how Matt brought that up last week in his message. And that willingness to not be afraid to ask questions. Children are not afraid to ask questions. Just yesterday, we were with my mom, and my granddaughter comes up to her and says, why are your hands so bumpy? And her poor mom, Lucy, looked at her and was just sort of like, and I looked at Lucy and said, it's quite all right. Mom doesn't mind. And Mom didn't mind. She tried to explain to this child why her hands are so bumpy. And children are not afraid to ask questions. God does not want us to be afraid to ask him questions. Lord, what's going on? Why is this happening? Maybe I won't get the answer to the question, why, Lord? But where are you right now? Are you really here like you promised? And if you are, can I get a better sense of that? Children aren't afraid to be able to do that. And they're naturally full of faith. They're just naturally full of faith. They trust that when they are hungry, you can feed them. They trust that when they are thirsty, you can get them something to drink. That if they're cold, you'll help them get warm again. Children naturally are full of faith. And Jesus is saying to us, you really want to be able to experience who I am? You need to come with the heart of a child. What's the problem? We grow too old. We grow too old. We grow too old in a world that's broken. We grow too old in a world that just breaks us down as a result as well. I have been working within my own heart and my soul to be able to say to myself, Paul, don't grow old. Don't grow old. Stay connected to the heart of God and trust him like a child would. I'm going to give you 2 examples from the scriptures right now on children that were used by God and that because their heart was there. They trusted. You good with that? Yeah. We're okay with that? Yeah. All right. Here's the first one. It comes from 2 Kings. In chapter 5, we have the story of Naaman the Syrian. And I'm going to just invite you all later this afternoon sometime. Don't wait till tomorrow because you'll forget. But this afternoon sometime, read the story of Naaman the Syrian. All right? Read that full story. He's a commander of a Syrian army, in the Syrian army. He is a fellow who's an enemy of the state of Israel. And a matter of fact, right now, he's just pulled off a successful raid where he's gone in, basically killed people, and taken what he wanted. And one of the things that he took was, it says, a young child, a little girl, under the age of 7. And he takes her captive, and he brings her home, and he makes her a servant to his wife, basically a slave. And she serves his wife. Now, Naaman has been struck with leprosy, some form of skin disease that is noticeable and is affecting him and causing a deterioration in his health. And this little girl, one day when she's serving her mistress, says to her, you know, there's a prophet in Israel, and he could heal Naaman. Now, I don't know of any episodes that I could read beforehand, and you can correct me afterwards. Don't correct me now. But you can correct me afterwards, and of Elisha healing somebody who had leprosy. I don't have any episode of it. But this little girl is convinced that he can, because he knows God. And he works in God's power and God's authority, and God speaks to, he could help Naaman. Now, I put myself into that situation because I'm a visual person. And so I put myself into the story when I read it. And I think to myself, if I was one of the other slaves working in Naaman's, under his ownership, under his possession, and this little girl came up to me and said, you know what? I'm pretty sure that if Naaman went to Israel and he asked Elisha, Elisha would heal him. And then he wouldn't have this leprosy anymore. Child, do you realize that this man has leprosy because he's cursed by God? I mean, leprosy is a curse by God. He's cursed by God. You know why he's cursed by God? Because of what he does to our people. That's why and because he worships other gods. Not our God, other gods. Why would our God show him any compassion and care? Child, do you realize your own family was attacked and some of them murdered, and you were taken away from a story and forced into a life of brokenness? Because I grew too old. Because I grew too old. Could I join with this child in her heart that says, my God is bigger than that. My God is bigger than that. You know, over the years, I've had many people that I have been witnessing to and talking about the whole idea of who Christ is and the relationship that Jesus wants with them. And one of the arguments that often comes up is, well, if God is so good, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? And what I have learned over the years with that question is to help them dig a little deeper. And that is, it really that there is so much pain and suffering in the world that that's what troubles you about the character and the heart of God? And almost without fail, every single time, after gentle, gracious, compassionate caring, they open up and they share a brokenness in their story. In their story. It's not what's going on in the world. It's what's happening in my story right now. This little girl is a phenomenal example to me of not letting the brokenness of your story affect the way you see the heart of God. And not just for yourself, but for all those around you, and how he wants to operate in love and in power. Read the story to see what happens. Okay? There you go. You've got some homework to be able to take home with you. The next story I want to be able to share with you comes from John chapter 6, verse 8, and I know I've spoken on this passage in the past here at Sunnyside, so I'm not going to go into the whole thing. You'd be thankful for that because we don't have much time left. But I want to be able to share with you just an excerpt from this story, and it's basically the feeding of the thousands. The title in our Bibles is often the feeding of the 5,000, but I want you to be able to appreciate something. It's the feeding of the thousands. It was 5,000 men because that's how they counted attendance back then. 5,000 men plus women plus children. And that well over 10,000 people are there that day. And it says they've gone without food the whole day, but there's a little boy there, probably around the age of 5. And mom packed a lunch for him, and it's wrapped in a little piece of a rag of some sort, probably tied to his belt so he wouldn't lose it. And all he knows is that he's gone through the whole day not eating because he's so excited about seeing Jesus do all the miracles that he was doing and operating in power and healing everybody who needed healing. And then teaching like he's never heard before. And all he knows is at the end he's got, this little kid has somehow pushed himself to the front of the crowd. And what an amazing, precocious little child. But he has pushed himself to the front of the group. And he's close enough to be able to hear Jesus say to his disciples and to Philip, where can we get enough food to feed all these people? And Philip's response is an old response. If we saved up everything we've made for the last 8 months, and we didn't, but if we saved up every penny, and we haven't, we still couldn't buy enough bread for each person to have a mouthful. And this little boy, looking at the disciples, chooses Andrew, because Andrew was probably the most approachable. Andrew just said something about him. Kind of reminds me of Abe. That's the honest truth. He had something about him. And this little boy had remembered all of a sudden he's got a lunch, and Jesus needs food. And he takes it off his belt and he hands it to Andrew. He says, "It's yours. My mom made this for me. It's 5 small barley loaves and a couple of small pieces of fish. But I hear you need food. Here you go." And Andrew turns to the group and he says, "Hey, here's a little boy's lunch. We got 5 small barley loaves and 2 little pieces of fish." And he's got 11 pairs of eyes staring him down right now. And they're all looking at him like, "Seriously? Seriously?" And Andrew grew old. He grew old. And he finishes his statement with this, "But how far will this go amongst so many? But how far will this go amongst so many?" What's amazing is Jesus never says a word, because he knew this was the Father's provision for the miracle. And he takes it, and he feeds everybody everything they wanted to eat till they were all full. A miracle is made. If you and I had had the lunch, okay, never mind. If I had had the lunch, you may not appreciate me pointing to you, because you might be thinking, "Oh, I know what I'd have given it to Jesus." Yeah. But if I'd had the lunch, would I have? Or have I grown so old that I can't believe that this could be God's answer to the prayer? Have I grown so old that I can't honestly believe that this is God's way, that he wants to be able to provide the miracle right now? Have I grown so old that I can't believe that something that seems so pitiful cannot be used so mightily? Have I grown so old? A little while back, we had our grandchildren over for a sleepover. And I'm a light sleeper, so I wake up if I hear any sort of noise or anything goes on. And I hear somebody thump out of bed, thump, 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 thump. And I realize somebody's walking up and down the hallway looking for something. I better get out there and find out what's going on. The hallway's dark. We had a little nightlight. It had gone out. I don't know what happened to it. And I'm looking, and all I see is this little shadow down there, and I realize it's my 3-year-old granddaughter. And she is disoriented. She has woken up, not quite figured out where she is. She's in the dark, and she suddenly is just looking around, thinking, "Where am I? Where am I supposed to be going right now?" And the whole bit. And I simply looked at her, and I said, "Hannah, you okay?" And I put my arms out. She couldn't even quite see me in the dark. All I know is that she turned around, saw me, and all of a sudden runs towards me, arms out. I pick her up. She wraps her arms around my neck, buries her head in my neck, never says a word, just clings on to me. And then I quietly said to her, after about a minute or so, I said, "You okay?" And she doesn't even answer. All I feel is this little head moving up and down, nodding right beside me, like, totally good, that's good. Two thoughts hit me at that time. The first was, you know, if there was anything really dangerous in that hallway at that time, it would have got both of us. But I also realized this. Nothing changed. The lights didn't come on. The darkness didn't go away. She probably still felt disoriented. She probably still trying to figure out where she was in the darkness. But all she knew was that she had found the comfort of a presence of somebody that she knew loved her and would do anything to watch over her and protect her. Jesus wants us to do the same. He says, "Can you come to me with the heart of a child? Can you come to me with that absolute trust where you just know that, man, I would wrap my arms around you. I would hold you so close that I promise you, my love would permeate every part of who you are. And maybe the circumstances wouldn't change, but you would. You would. Because you'd have the confidence of knowing that you're securely held in the dark by somebody who's got the ability to do anything he wants, because all authority in heaven and earth was given to him. And he loves you. And he loves you." My encouragement to each one of us is, don't grow old. Don't grow old. Please don't grow old. If anything, right now, the world around us needs those who have the faith that says, "I may not be trained, I may not have much, but I know what I do have. I know what I do."